difficult for us. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse number 14 this morning, Matthew chapter 6. And just two verses, verse 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, and the Lord said this, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's a couple of rough verses. We have been looking in Matthew chapter 6, and you see our outline. We already covered letter A, the counsel about philanthropy, and that is giving of alms. We've talked about the counsel about prayer, and that was in two parts, from verse 5 all the way down to verse number 13. And in that model prayer, remember what the Lord had said in verse 12. He said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Within that model prayer, again, not a recited prayer, but a model prayer. Within that model prayer was verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Well, it's interesting to note that in verse 14 and 15, he expands on what he said in verse 12. Now, if you remember last week, we saw seven different points to that model prayer. There's seven different things that he pointed out. And yet, when he's done with that, he goes back and amplifies one of them. Just one of them. He didn't go back and emphasize, "Hallowed be thy name." He didn't emphasize, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." He emphasized this thing about forgiveness. Now, that's noteworthy because the Lord, if he spoke these seven things and then goes back and emphasizes one of them, it's because he knows we have trouble with that one. It's like the Ten Commandments he gave the children of Israel as he watched them wandering through the wilderness. And he said, "You know, they've got some problems, and here's the top ten." That's what the Ten Commandments were. God said, they weren't just ten generic things. They were what the Lord saw as he watched the children of Israel. As he saw them, this is what they had trouble with. Well, the Lord, when he speaks this Lord's Prayer, says, "I need to go back and exhaust one of these thoughts because what I said wasn't enough." Now, understand the way I'm wording it that way, but it's simply this. The Lord goes back in verse 14 and 15 and adds some more stuff to this thing of verse number 12. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." This is the thing that makes it noteworthy. He didn't expand on any of the other things. It's the most difficult to do. And if you and I will be honest, this thing of forgiveness puzzles us. We hear a lot of teachings on forgiveness that, though practically speaking, sometimes they're good, biblically speaking, they're not accurate. All right? So we want to look at what the Lord says in verse 14 and 15. So letter C is the counsel about pardon. P-A-R-D-O-N, pardon. When we do something, sneeze or something, we say, "Pardon me." We bump into somebody. We're asking for forgiveness. "Excuse me," all right? In verse 14 and 15, the Lord then is talking about pardon. Now let me say this. Go back again to verse number 9. How did he start the prayer? "Our Father, which art in heaven." This prayer is not for unregenerate. This prayer is not for unbelievers. This prayer is not for church members who have not been born again. This prayer is for those that really have God as their Father. God is only the Father of those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A lot of folks are walking around as good people, moral people, upstanding people, but have never put their faith in Christ. They really can't pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," because God's not their Father. He becomes our Father by faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if He tells us to pray in verse 9, "Our Father," He's directing this toward believing people, Christian people. So this thing about pardon and forgiveness is not to gain or earn salvation. Salvation's already been granted. Salvation's already been given. When we read verse 14, it can alarm us if we're not secure in our salvation, because it says, "If you forgive men not your trespasses, your heavenly Father," or "if you do, your Father will forgive you. If you do not, your Father will not forgive you." You say, "Well, then I'm not saved if I don't forgive somebody." No, it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about fellowship. He's already our Father. That's already been established. Now that he is our Father, we need to have a spirit of forgiveness as he forgave us, so that we can have the right relationship and right fellowship. So don't ever worry in verse 14 and 15, and I hear this taught sometimes, that those verses mean that if you're not willing to forgive somebody else, God's not going to forgive you. You're going to die and go to hell. No, this is written to somebody who's already a believer. And in establishing your Christian walk, you need to have a spirit and attitude of forgiveness. Can we be honest? There might be in everybody's life, if not just the majority, someone or something that's happened in the past that you've just never really forgiven. You've never completely gotten over it. You say, if verse 14 and 15 are saying if you haven't forgiven, you're not forgiven, you're going to go to hell, then we're in bad shape. But that's not, it's talking about a clean slate. It's talking about forgiveness in fellowship and in relationship, not in salvation. So we want to make that clear as we begin this morning, that this salvation is fixed. He's already our Father. But now that we're saved, we need to forgive one another, even as he has forgiven us, so that our relationship can remain intact. All right, number one, the call to forgiveness. The call to forgiveness. That's what he's giving us here in verse 14 and 15. Keep your place there, but look, if you would, at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. This is a different time. It's not the Sermon on the Mount, but the Lord said something here that is very apropos to this. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, "When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses." Now again, this is not in Luke, the Sermon on the Mount. But this is the Lord at a different time teaching the same principle. He says in verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." So he taught this a second time, that the importance of forgiveness. We are called to forgive. In verse 25 it says, "Forgive if you have aught against any." All right? "That your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Those of you that are familiar with this know there's 16 verses missing in all the new Bibles that come out. 17 now in the ESV, the newest one. But this is one of those verses that's missing in all the new Bibles, verse 26 in Mark chapter 11. They say it's just, what they'll say is whoever copied Matthew chapter 6 wrote it into Luke chapter 11. But what actually happened is the Lord taught this two different times. He taught the same principle twice, so it's not up to us to delete and take out when we think it doesn't belong there. But the Lord taught on two different occasions. There's a call to forgiveness. We are to forgive. All right, let's look at this call. Small letter A under the call to forgiveness. The defining. If we're going to forgive, we need to know what forgiveness is. The defining of forgiveness. The Bible says, If ye forgive, you notice the word "if" is in both of these verses. If you forgive, which means it's a very strong possibility that we might not forgive. And if we don't, then we suffer the consequences for it. So the defining of forgiveness. What does forgiveness mean? Well, Webster's Dictionary, again, that's the one I usually go to, the 1828, the first English dictionary compiled, says that the word "forgive" means to send it away. To send it away. In other words, whatever it is, whatever that wrong that's been done to you, you no longer hold them accountable for it. You've sent it away. So someone who has done something wrong to you, someone who has crossed you somehow, you simply send it away. It doesn't mean you overlook it. It doesn't mean that you just don't think about it. It means that you send it away. That's what forgiveness is all about. You no longer hold it against them. You send it away. When we have been wronged, a relationship is broken. When we forgive and send it away, the relationship can be restored. Now we're talking about a friendship relationship, a brotherly relationship. when we've been wronged and we have the capability of putting it away, again, not just overlooking it, but of actually forgiving it, then we maintain that right relationship. So we need to know, we understand that the defining of forgiveness is sending it away, just putting it away and not holding it against them. Letter B is the doing. The defining's easy. The doing's a whole nother story. The doing of forgiveness. The Bible says in these verses, forgive men their trespasses. It's not just an attitude, it's an action of forgiving them. Now it doesn't mean you have to tell them you've forgiven them, but simply that you have done that. You have forgiven them their trespasses. I might say this also, this is a personal thing, not a civil thing. All right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's not teaching prayer for public consumption. He said when you pray, get in your closet which is in secret and pray to your Father after this manner, our Father which art in heaven. This is all on a personal level. This does not mean if somebody breaks into your house and steals something or harms someone that you're to forgive them and put it away and it's all over. In civil situations, it's not what's talked about here. I marvel when folks say, well, you know, they killed our daughter or they did this or they did that, but I have forgiven them. Wow. That's a monumental thing when you can get to that point. But I would simply say this, if on a personal level you've been able to forgive them, that's fine, but that does not excuse them from the consequences of their actions. The personal and the civil are two different things. Personally, we are to find an area of forgiveness, but it doesn't mean we, so to speak, let them off the hook. All right, if someone has committed a civil crime, there are civil punishments for it. You can be forgiven. You know, somebody says, well, if you've forgiven them, then you won't pursue action against them. That's not necessarily true. We can forgive them of what they've wronged us, and yet still, in civil society and government, the wrongdoer, let's put it this way. If someone does some egregious sin, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, slandering you or something like that, but I'm talking about they do something very bad against you. And you say, I forgive you, and I'm not going to press charges, I'm not going to do that. You know what? You've just stamped an approval for them to do it again. So in civil matters, it's not talking about forgiving and saying, I'll let you off the hook. No, you can still pursue civil matters and yet have forgiveness in your heart. So again, this is one of those areas that gets kind of difficult out there for different folks in understanding it. The doing of forgiveness. Forgive men their trespass. Look at Luke chapter 17. Nothing like the Bible to throw something difficult into this. Look at Luke chapter 17. This is the Lord speaking here, giving, as it were, an addendum to what's already been done. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now there's a phrase that's not back in Matthew chapter 6. If he repent, forgive him. That's what Peter said, Lord, if he wrongs me, how many times do I forgive him? Till seven times? And he said, no, till 70 times seven. If he repent. So that's a very interesting thing that the Bible says, forgive men their trespasses. It's simply like this. Does the Lord forgive if we don't ask for forgiveness? All right, he's the example for this. If in our Christian walk, again, not talking about lost posts, but in our Christian walk, if we don't go to the Lord after we've done some wrong in our Christian life, we've done something that the Holy Spirit of God inside of us says, hey, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have watched that, shouldn't have read that, shouldn't have listened to that, whatever it is, should have walked away from that situation, and we didn't do it, and so we say, Lord, I'm sorry about that. If we don't ask God to forgive us, does He forgive us? By everything I see in Scripture, no. Our relationship is hindered or damaged because we carry on knowing that we did something that violates God's purity system, and we don't confess it to him, so there's no forgiveness. Well, here it says, if he repent, then forgive him. Now, the problem is simply this. What if he doesn't repent? Well, then, according to Luke 17, I don't have to forgive him. Well, the problem is, if you're going to carry that, you know, the problem with forgiveness is when we do not forgive, we carry that. It's usually the person that's wronged us. They've forgotten about it. They're just going on their merry way, and it's a great thing. While we bear the burden of having been offended or wronged, and we carry it on. So if we don't forgive them, and again, the Lord said, if he repent, forgive him. If we don't forgive him because he doesn't repent, if we're carrying that burden, it's not doing us any good. We need to have the spirit of forgiveness even when they don't ask for it. But if you say, what if he hasn't repented? Well, according to the Lord, I guess you can get away with it, but it could be tough. If you bear that burden afterward, then maybe go back to Matthew chapter 6 and forgive anyways. So the doing of it can be difficult. It can be hard. It can be a burden. All right, the call to forgiveness, the defining, the doing, letter C, and this is what we're talking about, the difficulty. The difficulty of forgiveness. Notice in verse 14 and 15, the word forgive is there four times. And the whole reason verse 14 and 15 are there because of verse 12 being there. And in verse 12, the word forgive is there two more times. So in this short passage, these few verses, six times the Lord has said forgive, 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 because it's the thing we struggle with. I don't struggle with our Father. I don't struggle with hallowed be thy name. I don't struggle with give me this day my daily bread. I don't struggle with thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But we struggle with forgiveness. And so the Lord addresses it because he knows it's going to be difficult. It is a difficult duty to be able to forgive. You know, sometimes folks say, well, yeah, you're a Christian. A Christian has the easy road. It's a crutch. You just need a crutch to hold you up. Well, here's the thing. The person that's not saved, who doesn't have to worry about forgiveness, just carries that burden and bears that burden and has that negative spirit and that negative attitude toward those that have wronged him, and you carry that and carry that. You know what? It's harder to forgive. And yet Christians do that. We do that so we can clean our slate. We do that so we can have peace among one another. Whereas other folks don't. Have you ever talked to them, and I hope nobody's here, you ever talk to somebody and they'll bring up something from 10 years ago that their neighbor did to them, or their co-worker did to them, or the judge decided against them in a legal setting, and for 10 years they've been carrying that and bearing that, and it's eaten them up. And every time they get in a discussion for any amount of time, that's going to come up again, that somebody in the past wronged them. All right? It's much easier to have that forgiveness. And yet it's a difficult thing to do. It's an anomaly. All right? It's better to have, but it's harder to do. To forgive that person that's done those things in the past. Say, preacher, how do I do that? Well, you get down on your knees before God. You know, sometimes the person we wronged is not even alive anymore. Or sometimes we have no idea where they are. We've lost contact with them and they're gone, but we're still carrying that thing that they did against us. We're not going to get it right with them because we don't even know where they're at anymore, but we can get it right with God. We can get down on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm carrying this burden. I'm carrying this unforgiveness, and it's not doing me any good. And I need to give it to you. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We just say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to carry it any longer. I'm going to send it away and not worry about it any longer. But that's a difficult thing to do. It is much easier to carry a grudge. It's much easier to look for a way of vengeance. It's much more difficult to forgive. And so that's what we are called to do. It's not our nature. Our nature is to retaliate. Our nature is to find a way to get back at them. And we need to have that call to forgiveness. All right, then secondly, number two, the consequences of forgiveness. The consequences, and that's what verse 14 and 15 all about. If you forgive, your heavenly Father will forgive. If you forgive not, neither will your Father in heaven forgive. So there are consequences that are positive and negative. We all probably have gotten to the point where we understand that life's decisions have consequences. And that seems to be one of the hardest lessons sometimes for people to learn. They make a decision that pleases them. They make a decision, something they want to do. And so they make that decision and think that whatever they decide to do, because we live in this me-first society, I'm going to do what I want to do, and then everything after should be good because of it. And then when they suffer the consequences of those decisions, they're shocked. They can't imagine why is everybody against me? Well, because you did something stupid. All right, you did something that wronged others. You did something that hurt other people. And we do not live in a society where you just forgive that, you suffer the consequences for it. And the Lord says in this area of forgiveness, if you forgive, then I'll forgive. If you don't forgive, I won't forgive. Again, not in the area of salvation, but of fellowship with the Lord. When we carry around those burdens. So let's look at the consequences of forgiveness. Small letter A. And we've got some big words here. Reciprocation. All right? Reciprocation. If you're a concealed carry permit person, you know what reciprocity is. All right? Reciprocation. R-E-C-I-P-R-O-C-A-T-I-O-N. Reciprocation. R-E-C-I-P-R-O-C-A-T-I-O-N. In other words, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Reciprocation. Or, how about the Bible way? You reap what you sow. All right, that's what reciprocation is. And in the Scriptures, God says that that's the way things work. Let's look at some verses where the Bible teaches this. Look back, if you would, at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And verse number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, notice this, be it far from me. He wanted the house of Israel to be blessed, but because of their sin and iniquity, he said, it's far from me. He says at the end of verse 30, for them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. All right, this is God's system of sowing and reaping. He said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. If you despise me, you shall be despised or lightly esteemed. And so that's God's reciprocation, giving back to us. It's not vengeance, it's just a matter of reaping, of sowing and reaping. That the way we behave is the way we're going to receive back. When he says forgive so you can be forgiven, that's because there's a biblical formula of this, of reaping and sowing. So what does it benefit me to forgive those that have wronged me? That I might have a good relationship, not necessarily with them, but with God. Because I want His forgiveness for the things that I do, so I need to be able to forgive others. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Look, if you would, at Psalm chapter 18. Again, some biblical examples here of reciprocation. Psalm chapter 18, or Psalm 18, verse 25. Psalm 18, verse 25. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, that's the unclean, the nasty, the wicked, thou wilt show thyself froward. God will be nasty toward them. All right, we see in these two verses this same principle. That God says in these verses that if we want mercy, we need to be merciful. Again, not for salvation, but in maintaining our fellowship and relationship with Him. We need to forgive others. We need to be merciful. We need to be upright. We need to be pure. We need to avoid being forward because according to our actions, God deals with us that way. Look at Matthew chapter 5. This is right where we're at in looking at Matthew chapter 6. But look back one chapter, chapter 5 and verse number 7. And it says again what David said in Psalm. It said in Matthew 5, 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." All right, we need to be forgiving. We need to be merciful, not harsh. Again, we need to stand for righteousness, but not be unmerciful, because we want to get that mercy from God. Look at Luke chapter 6. Again, some different references that show this principle in Scripture. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, the Lord said this, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." All right, there's that principle of reaping and sowing. We want to receive. God says, if you give, you will receive. Now that giving, we don't, you know, a lot of times we want to say that's talking about tithes and offerings and missions, and it does include that, but it's more than that. When you see a brother in need, you give. Then later on, when you're in need, God moves it upon somebody else's heart to give. You pray for someone. Then later, when you're in need, God puts you on their heart. I got a text from George Griffiths one morning early. It was Friday. I got a text from Brother George Griffiths, and he said, "I'm praying for you this morning, brother. Hope all is well." And as he was praying, I was in Zanesville at the orthopedic surgeon's getting ready to go in for my appointment. So I said, I explained to him, "Here's what I am. I've had this problem." And he said, "Well, that's why God's laid you on my heart at this time this morning. Now, you know what I want to do? I want to pray for George Griffith." You know why? Because without knowing it, in an hour I had a need, he was praying for me. God moved upon his heart to do it. I want to reciprocate that. I want to make him part of my prayer list. Brother Chedina up in Michigan, every once in a while at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, some terrible, terrible hour of the day, he's already up and he says, "I prayed for you this morning." You know what that makes me want to do when he sends me that text? Remember to pray for him. Because there's just something special about that that makes it noticeable. They're giving of their time and effort to pray for me. I want to do it back for them. So it's this reaping and sowing, this reciprocation that's going on. One more. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 13. "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." Notice, "he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy." When we show no mercy, then the Lord says, "I'll have judgment without mercy." Again, not talking about eternal life, eternal salvation, eternal damnation, but simply talking about in this life being merciful, showing forgiveness, because we want our Father in heaven to forgive us also, that we might maintain that right relationship. So that's the reciprocation. Back to our outline, letter B under the consequences. Letter B is the reward. The reward. Back here in Matthew chapter 6. "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you." The key word is if. There's a reward to be gained if. All right, the Bible says, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive your trespasses." Sometimes, you know what the Bible says in that giving of alms? If you come to give your alms and you have aught against your brother, go back and make that right, then come and give your alms. Sometimes when we're asking God for forgiveness of our things we've done, we'll say, "Lord, I did this. I told this lie. Oh, I said this thing that really wasn't true. I kind of misled somebody." And the Lord will speak to you and say, "You know what? Isn't that the same thing that you're so mad at so-and-so for doing? And now you realize you've done it yourself? So what do you have to do? You've got to be able to forgive the other person before God's going to forgive you. See how it works? Many times when we get before the Lord, we start confessing things that we've done. And again, we're people that aren't confessing murder, and we're not confessing adultery. We're not confessing these big, large sins like that. But we get down and confess our little sins, and the Lord says, that's the same thing that you're holding against somebody else. And so at that point, we've got to set it down and say, Lord, forgive me for that, for holding that against them. I'm going to drop that. I'm going to send it away. Now forgive me for this. So it's a reward. And it's really the greatest reward you can get, because it's a reward that brings peace of mind. And it's a reward that brings good fellowship with God. So there's the reward. Then lastly, letter C, there's the retribution. The retribution. If you forgive not, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And again, we're not talking about hellfire and damnation. We're not talking about being cast into the lake of fire. We're just saying that if we aren't willing to forgive others, then God's going to hold that forgiveness in our fellowship with Him against us. Here's the best example of that. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. The Lord gives us a great example of this. Matthew chapter 18, look down at verse 23. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, a debt he couldn't pay. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. But he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told it unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Isn't that an amazing example that the Lord gave? The Lord that had the man that owed him money and he forgave him, and yet that man went out to the man that owed him money, grabbed him by the throat and threatened him. And so that Lord came back and said, huh, because you didn't forgive him, I'm not forgiving you of that debt that I said that we'd do it. So that is the retribution. And again, the Lord works that way. It's a fair promise, is it not? Isn't Luke chapter 18, isn't that fair? We were out eating last night, Sonia and I, because Aaron spent the night somewhere, so we had the evening to ourselves. We went out to eat together, and the family next to us, so the husband and wife and three little kids sitting around the table. We enjoyed our time, just the two of us right there, as we watched the mom and dad over there and the three kids. And I heard this from the kids, and we've all heard this. That's not fair. That's not fair. We always hear that from our kids. The Lord is fair. The Lord is always fair. And so sometimes we don't like that fair. Here's this guy, he wouldn't forgive. He was forgiven, but then wouldn't forgive. And so the master came back and said, neither do I forgive you, because you wouldn't show that forgiveness. All right, that's the retribution. It's fair, it's firm. It's firm. And it is fearful. All right? To know that our actions are being watched by God, and that God many times will reward us or give us retribution based on how we deal with other people. So we need to watch those things. That's why the Lord says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, forgive men their trespasses. Why? So you can have yours forgiven. Because if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive yours. You know, there's no way to wiggle out from under that. That's Scripture. That's Bible. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way of saying, well, that's not for me. I don't have to do that. The Lord says, if we forgive, we'll be forgiven. But if we forgive not, if we carry it and harbor it and hold it against somebody, we're breaking our relationship with God. Because God looks down upon us as not being willing to forgive and yet needing forgiveness from Him. And He says, If you forgive not, neither shall you be forgiven. Let's work on this thing of forgiveness. It's the toughest part. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for its instruction. Lord, we pray that we would lay it to heart, put it into practice in our lives. Bless our morning service, those that come to join us. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.